that you heard from these guys. We didn't have time to tell a lot of personal stories, but if you see the strongholds tore down, that's a bunch of people involved. So we get the big picture. And another thing to introduce y'all, this is Bishop Arthur Yonzei. I don't know how long he was bishop, but he's...
Since 2002. Yes.
But they have 22 churches, involve 3,500 people. And then the other way in Bond County, there's like you say, thousands of people involved. And this is Pastor James pastoring one of the churches. But we're going to sing y'all, and you get in the middle because you're the chief.
Okay.
We're going to sing y'all one English song, and then I'll step down, and then they're going to sing a bossa song. Then before they're preaching, if somebody wants to come up and pray with them, that's your opportunity. Then Arthur will preach. Okay, James.
Jesus is the rock that never fails. Jesus is the rock that
never fails.
Oh, Jesus is the rock that
never fails.
Oh, Jesus is the rock that
never.
I say I'm standing on the rock that
never fails.
Jesus is the rock that
never.
Oh, I am climbing on the rock that
never fails.
Jesus is the rock that
never.
I say I'm sitting on the rock that
never fails.
Jesus is the rock that
never.
Hey, Jesus is the rock that
never fails.
Jesus is the rock that never fails. Yes, indeed, he is the rock.
Yes.
We're standing on that rock. All other ground is sinking sand.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We're going to sing you a stanza of the song we just sang. Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's a question that each of us need to answer. And that's how we're going to stand before God, and he's going to ask us, how well? God bless us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
On that Jesus was a bomb, where play bla your monk by the kid, I'm a war. On it all, Jan, Jack, wheat, bamboo, carden, bla your monk by the kid, I'm a war. On a drill,
on a drill,
oh, dead, mama. Deyanzu mo wenmo pade mo ni kambio se zemble ke wa we mo se bla yonmo pade ke damu wo. God bless you.
Amen.
Okay. All right, let's just pray for these brethren as they lead out as God directs. God, I come to you and I thank you for this opportunity. God, I just pray for these pastors and the work that they do in Africa. But God, today, I pray that your spirit would move through them. Father, would your name be exalted? Father, I pray that our hearts and our minds and our souls would be open and our spirits would connect with you through the message this morning. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
God bless you all.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Again, I want to thank you for the opportunity given us to share, to bring you the saving message of Jesus Christ. It is so important. And I want to thank the choir for the beautiful songs that have come. Yesterday, we attended a program, and we listened to beautiful songs again. We appreciate it highly. Now, you have heard a lot of stories from us, from Africa. A lot of information given to you pertaining to the work. And additionally, we have asked you to continue to stand behind the work by giving Bibles. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So sometimes you ask yourself, why should I continue to do this? Why should Paul go to Africa? And again, we have seen some African brothers coming from all the way from Africa coming here. Why? You say to yourself, I have everything to my disposal. God has given me a lot of things. Why should I go to Africa? My message to you this morning is an answer to that question. There are a lot of reasons why it should happen. But I will give you one. I think the choir for the song, especially the song that has the part that says, one day he is coming. Praise, hallelujah.
Amen.
So the answer that I want to share with you this morning from scripture is, we have to do that because Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. Surely he is coming again. Therefore, it is our prerogative, it is our business to work for him. It is our business to donate toward his work because he is coming again. I'm not here to tell you something that you have not heard before. I'm here to bear witness of what our brothers have been telling you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we want to read a few verses from the 14th chapter of the book of John. The first three verses. I read. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare the place for you, I will come again and take you with me, that you also may be where I am. The statement there, I will come back and receive you unto myself, is what we are talking about this morning. We are telling you that the reason why we have to stand strong and work for Jesus and contribute toward the work of Jesus is because he is coming. I don't care how long it lasts. He will come. Maybe you say to yourself, many times they have talked about Jesus coming and he cannot come. When will he come? He did not tell us, but scripture says he is coming. This is why you see people go to Africa, because he is coming. The master is coming one day, the savior. I want you to bear that in mind. I want to bear witness of that from Africa to tell you again that he is coming. Yes, he will come. Hallelujah. Now, in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, when Jesus was going to heaven, he was escorted by his followers. And when he took off ground, those men were standing, looking up there, looking in heaven. And the Bible said, two angels appeared to them. And the angels told them, men of Galilee, why are you standing, looking up to heaven? The same Jesus you see going today, he will come back the same way.
Amen.
That is another proof from scripture that Jesus will come. I don't care what happened, he will come. There is no joke about it, he will come. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is coming back. He is coming. Therefore, we have to contribute toward his work. We have to go, even if you are chased to go in Africa. In fact, to start from your own home, telling people about Jesus. He is coming. You say, why he is coming? The Bible proved to us that he is coming to take the church from here. If you are believers in Christ, you are part of the church. He is coming for you. But we have to be mindful. He is not coming for everybody. He is coming for the church. If you are not saved, if you are not part of Jesus, if you do not believe Jesus as your Savior, my friend, you will not go. Hallelujah. And he is coming not to die again for you. He came first and died for our sin. But now he is coming to join us. We have to be mindful about that. But it is proven that he is coming. Before I take my seat, let me just recommend three little things to you to serve as your God. One, be ready. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He did not tell you that I will come on Saturday. Neither 12 o'clock of certain date or certain day. But he will come like a thief. He will come unknown you. So be ready at any time for his coming. He will only take those that will be in him. So be ready. You say, how can I be ready? You children or young children, maybe you do not know how to get ready. You have to receive him as your Lord and Savior and be in readiness. And the second thing I want to recommend to you is that help somebody to be ready. Help somebody. By your buying Bibles, giving of Bible to Africa, if somebody handle that Bible, read and be saved, you are helping somebody. If you have chance to join those who are going to Africa, I urge you to do that. To get somebody ready. You will get reward for that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is why before Christ left, he said we should go into the uttermost part of the earth. Make disciples. Teach people. Preach the word. Baptize them. If you do that, you are preparing somebody to get ready. You know, some people do not want to do this. Some people say, I'm saved already, so I don't need anything. But God said we should do it. In the Old Testament, in the book of Jonah, a prophet named Jonah, God spoke to him. God told Jonah, go to Nineveh, a wicked city. Speak against their sin. Let them know me, that I am their God. You know what Jonah did? The thing that Jonah did, I have many people doing today. Jonah said, I'm not going there. Those people are wicked. I don't want them to treat me bad. And the second thing he said to himself, he said, I will not go there. I want God's punishment to go on those people. He was mean with the gospel. And Jonah started running away. But no one can hide from God. God grabbed Jonah and urged him to go in that city. The third thing that I want to recommend to you is that keep looking on Jesus. As he is coming back, keep looking on Jesus. Don't let anybody fool you. Today we see that there are many things to take us from the right way. Riches. Today we see that in America, I don't know much about Halloween, but I understand that it's against Christianity. It's not in line with Christianity. You see that many people that are following it today, most of the horses that I see here, they have something dressed right in front of the house. And when we enter the store, we'll see all kinds of things standing like this. I'm afraid of it. I don't know what happened. My spirit against it. You see what happening today? Many people are doubting about Jesus coming. But he will come. Therefore, you have to keep yourself straight. Don't look on the left, don't look on the right. If you keep doing it, something will move you from your rightful direction. And you will be out of the way. There are a lot of things, especially here in America. I see everybody drive, everyone drive his own car. Nobody suffering. I don't see nobody suffering here. Easily you can drop from what you are doing. So you have to keep hanging on. You have to bear in mind that he is coming one day. That when you are not in him, you will be thrown out. The Bible says when he comes, it will be like the master picking the sheep from the goat. And he will tell the goat to be on his left. And the sheep will be on the right. Will you be one of the sheep? I want you to keep hanging on. He is coming. There is no joke about it. I don't care how long it lasts. This Bible does not lie. Everything in the Bible will be fulfilled. So I want you to be on your guard. Before I take my seat, I want to let you know that message like this came long ago in the books of Genesis. Genesis chapter 6. When man lived here on earth, after God created the universe, God made man. And man saw freedom. And they begin to live in sinful life. All part of man was sin. Their way of talking, their movement, and everything that they do, man does at that time was sin. So God got vexed. God told Noah, go and build an ark. Because I'm about to destroy all living things on the face of the earth. Noah went around, started telling people. God said, I should tell you that we should prepare an ark, be shaped, because he is about to destroy living things here on the face of earth with water. Nobody believed it. They made fun out of him. Say, where? It has never happened before. Some said to themselves, if the water comes, I will go up in my hospital building. Some say I will go up the mountain and live there for the period of time that the water will be here on earth. They doubted it. And they were doing what they wanted to do. Only with Noah and his family cleave to that word. And they did it. When the water came, there was no way. People died. And again, it's happening. Preachers are saying Jesus is coming. And people on the street don't have time. They are doing other things. Also Christianity. I want to say that you are blessed if you are in the Lord. He is coming. He said, I will come. Behold, I come quickly. And I have my reward with me. If you have Jesus, today I want to say that blessing is on you. But those without Jesus is dangerous for them. Therefore, we should stand strong and help. Help someone. Talk to someone. The other day, I was telling my brother James, I said, brother, door is open in Africa for the word of God more than America. Because back home, we just talk to one another freely. First in the morning, you will see somebody coming to my door. Brother, money. Hello, money. Less than 30 minutes, I will meet over 30 person or 40 person. I will talk to them, communicate with them. But here, it's hard for you to go to somebody's house without permission. You don't see much people on the street
to talk to.
But in Liberia, you see people preaching on the street. You see people going here and there. And a small thing happened, you will see children pile up. That is an opportunity given to speak to somebody. You can ask Brother Paul when he goes to Liberia, thousands of people hanging on him. It's not possible here. So the door is open there. You can find your chance to help somebody. Because when Christ comes, there will be reward for your work. Jesus said in Matthew, if anybody gave one cup of water to any of my people, he or she will get reward for it. So I'm reminding you again that Jesus is coming. Let us get prepared. Let us help somebody to know Jesus. Let us keep hanging on our faith. Don't let anybody change you. Amen. I want to thank you for listening to me. But I want you to be on your guard. Be ready. Because he is coming. No joke about it. Thank you so much.
Heard a lot of it. I don't know whether you have time. But as I was sitting, I felt the Spirit of God ministering to me to bring it more practical to your day-to-day life. Because if as Jesus said, when I'm talking about heaven, you don't know, you have not been there before. So he will always give illustration for what happens here. I'm so glad this morning. I've been blessed by the song. It reminds me about home, what we do there. Surely we can be on fire. We can dance. And we can shout hallelujah. This is a life that we have, because when we go to the grave, we won't come back there. We won't go back home to say hallelujah. So this is the time I say it. If you have Jesus, say amen. If Jesus is your Savior, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Since I came to the States here, I noticed something. And sorry, Mother, for using you as an example. When we got at the home of the Hershberger back in Colorado, they went and met her at the airport. We drove to the house. I noticed something. It was kind of similar to what we do there. Let me sit there, then I'll tell you what we do. When we sat in the living room, I only noticed Paul Hershberger came to us. We were talking. But where had been the mother? She was in the kitchen taking care of things. For each home that we enter in, we will sit in the living room talking while some dishes will be doing dankling, bankling in the kitchen preparing something. Hallelujah. Back home, there was a man that came with news. He came right at the door and allowed him in. When the woman saw the man, so excited, started preparing. Oh, John, come and do this, come and do that. The father and the man was sitting in the living room discussing. Guess what? The man had the news. That was a bad one anyway. After all the noise in the kitchen, the man told the husband in the living room, said, I brought a news for you. Your wife, father just passed away. That was a sad news. The woman who is preparing for the guests, how do you disclose such a news? That is the message I want to share with you this morning. What matters most to God? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sometimes we think we're pleasing God. Sometimes we think we're doing what we're doing is what God wants from us. But what matters most? What is the heartbeat? As I was saying now, the word heartbeat just keep putting to me. What is God's heartbeat? What God expects of me? I want to just read a few scripture references. If you have the book of Luke, quickly look at Luke chapter 10. I want to read. Oh, where is Luke? Okay. Find Luke anyway. Luke chapter 10. I want to just read two verses or three from verse 38 precisely. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was troubled, was not happy anyway, upon much serving of what she was doing, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. One thing is needful, and Mary has taken that part, and nobody can take that from her. If you read the book of the St. Luke chapter 10 again, verse 17, Jesus sent us 72, and when the 72 came back, they were rejoicing. But then they said, Jesus, while we were there, Satan obeyed us. Sickness ran away from people. But why was Jesus more concerned? Jesus said to them, Luke chapter 10, from verse 17. In that hour, Jesus rejected. No, let me just read further. Behold, I gave unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, reject not that the spirit are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven, not because Holy Spirit obeyed you. I have given you power to do it, but don't be rejoicing around here, boasting around here, masquerading around here, but rejoice because your names are in the book of life. That was his heartbeat. That was his concern. That was his priority. Jesus visited a home. Martha and her sister Mary. Lazarus was the brother anyway. They were all friends of Jesus. But Jesus told them, I'm going to visit you. Fine. But I gave an illustration about they went to their home. People were preparing. One group of people were preparing in the kitchen, while one was sitting, listening, and talking. It means there are two persons, two ways of welcoming a stranger. That's the same thing about them here. Martha and Mary welcome Jesus. Martha, being the elder sister, she was busy working in the kitchen. She was busy setting her thing. And let's look at the two styles of these two ladies. Martha's style was to prepare things in the kitchen and make the plate decent so that good name, people will carry her good name. That, oh, when I went to Martha's house, her house is decent, everything is in order. Oh, she's a very good and orderly woman. And that's fine. Satan, it was not important much to talk with Jesus because she felt that Jesus, my guest, once he's here, after all, when I finish putting the food and everything together, we finish eating, we talk. You see what she did? The first thing, she make it last. Greet the person, know what the person in of visiting you, what the message, because anybody answer, what is the news there? You first hear the news. It is the news that will put you in the position to do. What are the person spending the night for you? Fine. What are the person prepared to have dinner with you? Fine. You got to get the first-hand information before preparing yourself. But that's on the opposite. Martha was more concerned about preparing the home, setting up the dishes. But then while she was doing that, on the other hand, there was concern. She was worried. She was looking for help. She wanted somebody to come now to help. So what she did, she went to Jesus and said, Jesus, you don't care to even tell my sister to come and help me? I mean, the work is too heavy for me. I can't do it alone. That's worriness. The moment you put yourself ahead of things and putting God behind, you begin to look at your own strength. And your strength will start wearing away. So, she worried about people and not listening to Jesus. She was looking at material things, what she needs to do to please God in her own strength, and not listening to what Jesus had for her. But Mary's own style of service was different. Instead of Mary going to the kitchen to receive Jesus, prepare food for Jesus so all of them can eat, she went and sat by Jesus and listening to Jesus. She wanted first to hear what was Jesus' mission in the home, what Jesus' interest had been, what was his priority? What was his heartbeat? What really was the message that Jesus had on mind for which visiting them? So she sat down by Jesus and was just absorbing the good things of Jesus, taking in the food, spiritual food that would build her life up. But then the complaint came. Martha came with complaint. Why thinking about Mary? You know, sometimes it will behave like that. We always grumbling about the next person. Why alone doing this in the church and the other brother sitting there, he's not doing anything? We always pointing finger at people and not seeing ourselves. But you know, Jesus said, the being that is in your eye, get it up before you see the dead in the brother's eyes. Sometimes we do that. We point fingers. This man that, that man did, this man that. And as the guy said, when you're pointing one finger, three pointing at you. And the three, watch the story, and the three turned right to her. When she pointed the fingers, the one finger at Mary, the three finger looks back to her. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you worry too much. She thought she was doing it to belittle Mary, but Jesus said, Martha, you worry too much. One thing is needful that Mary has taken hold of, and nobody can take that from her. That is the internal life. That's why Jesus told the disciples, it's not angel obeying you, not demon falling to your feet. It is because your names have been written in heaven and nobody can erase it. That should be our priority. That should be our heartbeat for Christian service. It's because our names are in the book of life and we're going to sit by the feet of Jesus, or we're going to be in the hall during the marriage of the Lamb, where we all will be present, black and white, green and yellow, will be standing before God and giving account of our lives. It's not how long you serve church. It's not how long you head in position. That's not the key thing. You can be a little person, no one knows you, but God knows you from there because you're doing what God wants you to do. what matter most to God is what I want you to think on today. God, what do you really want for me? Jesus did not condemn her anyway, but her focus, her priority was not what God intended. So Jesus said, you worry too much. One thing you really need to do is to first come and listen, because Jesus said, see ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all other will be added to you. Yes. That's what he said. But how can you reverse it? Many times we reverse it. Instead of seeking Jesus Christ, who is the heartbeat, we turn it around and want to be good servants in the church. We're fighting for good name. But look, God favored you first before man can favor you. God set you apart first and said it is time to go. So it is important to know what is God's priority. Now I will read in the book of Micah chapter 6, and Israel wanted to really know what was God's own desire, what God expected of them. So, well, should we go to God and put all the money in as our tournament in our own setting today? Should I donate my whole house for stranger to beings? Would that be pleasing to God? Now, listen to what God said. God says something, say, I want you to remember this in Micah chapter 6 from verse 8. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what does the law require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Those are things that God requires of Israel. Those are things that God requires of us. It's not just carrying big name around here. It is doing what God said. You have to be just, because the just live by faith. You got to be merciful. You got to humble yourself before God, because if you humble yourself before God, I promise you that God will lift you up in due time. That is the heartbeat of God. It's not theory. It is the life of Christ. I always say to people, Christianity is not theory. It is the life. It's practical life. Many times we carry head knowledge around, but that's not it. It's the life of Christ. If you have Jesus, it must be seen in you, in your actions, in what you say, in what you do. It's not just saying it, but it must be acted upon. Because when we stand before God's judgment seat, those that think God is looking on, he's not looking. How long you spend in the church? Oh God, you know I spent 25 years in the church. I've been on the mission field all the way to India, to China, to whatever. Then they look at your book, they didn't see anything written on there. I know you not, man. And God, I've been serving you all the time of my life. All my resources I put in. Yes, you did that because you want a big name. But your name is not written in the book of life. So, God's first heartbeat for your name to be written in the book of life. Realize that you are sinners. You cannot save yourself. And confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He died for you on the cross, and God raised, and you believe it in your heart. Then your name will be written in the book of life. Then the next thing is God's heartbeat. God wants you to study his word. Many times we are busy, we don't even read our Bible. Many times people are on the wheel move. Not only here, back home. People can be so busy, they don't even find a time to say, let me read a passage and be quiet before the Lord for the next 30 minutes and allow God to speak to me for the day. God concerned that we study his word, because if you study God's word, you will know, study to show thyself approved unto God, that a workman need not to be ashamed, but holy divine the word of truth. That's what Paul said to Timothy. If you study God's word, you will not be ashamed. You will know left from right. If you want to do something, God will first say, what are you doing? He said, pleasing to me. That's God's heartbeat. That's God's priority. That's what matters most to God. It's not matter just serving, taking care of food, making people to eat and just sleep the whole day, and yet don't have time for Jesus Christ. It's not a bad thing. I'm not saying it. But it's like reversing it. people first in first. Because when you stand at God's word, you will humble yourself to God and you say, yes, sir, to God, I'm available. When you stand at God's word, you will not put yourself first, but you will put God first. And you will say, Lord, you are my captain. Then you will do what it says. Another habit that I want to leave with you. Yet, you are born again. You study God's word. Thirdly, fulfilled the great commission. That's God, that matter most to God. Jesus said, go ye therefore and make disciples. Well, we were discussing the passage. I don't know who the pastor is speaking to. Is he speaking to the pastors alone? The evangelists? He's speaking to everybody. You don't have to have position before. You need to go out right in your Jerusalem, right in the backyard, in Judea, in your very house, that one thing. In right in your backyard, your neighbor there is going to hell. You need to tell your neighbor about Jesus Christ. Then you go into the next state, Ohio. There's somebody there who are not knowing Jesus. You need to go and tell him about Jesus. Then you go to Liberia or Nigeria, Mongolia, whatever, and tell someone about Jesus Christ. That's the habit. Sometimes we want to say, well, John Brown, today you have the gate before the person can go. And what about the spirits in the person? You're quenching the spirit. The person has been filled with the spirit to go and tell someone. You say, well, we did not recognize him, so he can't go. So he can't go. And yet he's there burning within himself. Oh, I want Jesus. What? Oh, I want to go. But yet no one has recognized me to go. So I'm still praying. But yet Jesus did say, I'm going to recognize you before you go. He said, go ye therefore. So when the spirit come upon you, you will have power to go out. Yes. So you said to me that the only way the person go, I said the spirit, I will see the spirit enter the person. Then when the spirit enter the person, I can tell him to go. Well, by whom we don't do that. As a pastor of the church, like 100 and some more beside the young people, I begin to tap into their gifts. As we talk, as we taper in Bible study, the Spirit of God will direct me. And sometimes I give you, if I find out that you really want to be on fire for God, I give you minimal responsibilities. And gradually I begin to develop your gift. Then something in you now has seen that you can go into, and I begin to develop your gift. From there, sometimes the last one I say, you will be sharing today. Oh, pastor, it's too heavy for me. I said, you can do it, but just the spirit of the devil is putting fear in you. So you try. Before that time comes, the person will say, thou says the Lord. I just mark your name and start praying. I say, God, something in this person. And I know the person can go somewhere and tell someone about Jesus. I start developing you. So when the spirit comes upon you, you will have power. But sometimes we quench our power because nobody will recognize us. God had bid is that we go out and tell someone about Jesus. What matters most in your life today? As I'm taking my seat, think about it in a minute. God, what matters most to me? What is in my life that you really want to see happening? I should just be consumer and not provider. You know what I mean? I just told you, just take it in. I told you, just take it in. Just take it in. But yeah, you don't do anything. Uh-oh. You need to begin, stop consuming alone, but delivering. That's God's most concern for us. That's my prayer. That God will help us to know what matters most in our lives. It is not bad that matter take care of the home, but it's the only thing there is, her priority is not what God prioritized. This her priority is that people come together so she can release them. Then you can go prepare the food. So when Jesus fed the 5,000, the next day they were looking for him. All around. They cross the water. We can see Jesus. Cross the water. Can't see Jesus. Then they met Jesus across the water. Jesus, when did you come here? We've been looking for you. Jesus said, you're not looking for me for anything, but I fool you ate the other day. Why are you looking for me? Don't work for the food that can be destroyed. Work for the food that gives eternal life. May God bless us. In Jesus' name.